That this morning, hopefully you know that He is the King of Glory and that there is no one like Him. I praise Him, and I think it's amazing as a reminder that there is no one like Him. He is the King of Glory. He is the Lord of Lords. I pray that you have crowned Him that in your life, that you have made Him the King of your life. Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." Amen, church? We are called never to give up. Never to give up. Not to become weary and doing good. What does that mean? It means there are going to be times in your life where it gets tough. It gets hard, right? You wouldn't have to give up if your life was easy, if everything was going great. We have to never give up because life is going to be hard. Following God is hard. It's exhausting at times. It's easy to become weary. See, many people think the Christian life is going to be easy, but in reality, it's not. Doing your own thing is easy. Doing it God's way can be difficult. It can be tough. It can be hard. Many people think the Christian life is going to be easy, but that's not reality. When hard times or suffering come, they can wear us down. Right? They can break us sometimes. It can be difficult. The work of the Lord can be exhausting, and many people are or have given up on the Lord. Given up on the calling that God has given them because they've lost their strength. No longer have their strength. They don't have the strength to keep going anymore. So the question this morning is, does your strength need to be renewed? Does it need to be restored? See, we're going to continue to go through this series of how God renews our life. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. 1 Kings chapter 19 is where we're going to be this morning. See, we're continuing to see how God renews our life. And we've seen how God renews our life. He's taken what is dead and made it alive. Amen. Can you say that this morning? God has taken what was dead and made it alive. And we also saw how God renews our mind. He changes the way we think. He changes our expectations. He changes what we believe in life. Last week we saw how God can even change a heart. That God can renew a dead heart and make it new. A heart that was bent towards evil, that was bent towards wrongdoing, that was bitter or angry or didn't have forgiveness in their heart. God can completely change that and give you a brand new heart. That's the power of God. And today we will see a prophet who is tired, who's exhausted, wanting to give up. To give up on the calling that God has for his life. But we will even see that even when we want to give up, God doesn't give up on us. Amen, church? Amen. 1 Kings chapter 19, starting in verse 1, it says, "Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, 'May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like one of them.' Elijah was afraid and he ran for his life. And when he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. While he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, he came to a broom bush and sat down under and prayed that he might die. 'I've had enough, Lord,' he said. 'Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors.'" Here we find Elijah's in this deep depression. He's in this deep anxiety. And maybe you're asking, well, why is Elijah so downcast? Why is he so depressed? Why is he asking the Lord to take his life? Well, you have to understand who Elijah is. Elijah was the prophet. The prophet of God, the top of the top prophet. There was no one like him, no one who saw God do so many miracles, no one who God used in such a mighty way. And see, all before this, chapters before this, we find Elijah talks to this evil king Ahab. Evil king. Had his kids killed, all sorts of different things. Evil, evil king. And mainly Elijah's mission was to prophesy against this king. This evil king. So Elijah prays for no rain. It doesn't rain for 3 years. And then he prays here just in the last couple chapters where he goes to these prophets of Baal. It's a false god. False god. And he asks the people who are following this god, either choose today, either follow the Lord or continue to fall Baal. Don't play both sides. Can't do that. You choose. And then he asked the prophet, he said, well, if your God is so great, set up an altar and have your God consume it. And so they set up this altar, and Baal, who's a false god, no god at all, has no power to do anything. So all these people, all their prophets are going around, they're cutting themselves, they're screaming, they're shouting, and nothing's happening. Then Elijah calls to God. Elijah takes water and he pours it on the altar, soaks all the wood. makes it where it almost be impossible for it to come up in fire. Calls out to God in praise, and the Lord consumes every last bit of it. And then the people say, the Lord God of Israel is the one true living God. And then the prophets get put to death, and that's where we find ourselves right here. Jezebel goes after Elijah, and he's afraid, and he takes off, and he runs. There's no one who saw God do such an amazing thing like Elijah has. The people choose the Lord, they have the prophets killed, and Elijah begins to pray for the rain to start again. It was a 3-year famine. Elijah prays for the rain, and it rains again. That's how powerful God is. When we call out to Him, He listens and He answers, and we see amazing and wonderful things. And Elijah saw that every day. He prayed for a boy to live, and he lived. He rose from the dead. These are the things that Elijah has seen and has seen God do. He's seen all of these things, mighty and wonderful things. He's at the peak of his ministry, the peak of how God is using him. Yet one threat from Jezebel, one thing caused Elijah to run, to be afraid. Can I tell you that when your strength is low, when you have nothing left in the tank, it tends to lead us to do things we probably never would have done. How could Elijah, who saw God do such wonderful and amazing things, be afraid of just one little threat? It's because he's exhausted. He has no strength left. And what does he say? He says, I've had enough. I've had enough. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. What's he saying? He's saying, I failed you, God. I'm no better than the rest of them. I'm no better than my ancestors who left you and didn't do what you have called them to do. I'm no better. I've failed you. Take my life. I'm no good. I'm washed up. I'm done. And maybe you've been there in your life where you said, I've had enough, Lord. It's too difficult. It's too hard. I've had enough in my marriage. It's too difficult. I've had enough in my finances. It's too difficult. I can't keep a job. I can't keep a house. I've had enough. I'm done. Maybe you've been there in your life where you said, I can't do this anymore. Things are getting too tough. They're getting too hard for you. It doesn't seem like anything's working. And we might say, Elijah, where is your faith? Where's your faith at, Elijah? Where's your faith? But again, I'll say, well, there's no one better that knew who God was than Elijah. This was a man who knows God and knows how God and what God is capable of. But this is a man whose strength has run out. It's empty. He has nothing left. Nothing left. Listen to what he's saying. I'm tired. I'm afraid. I've given up. I've failed. And many times we find ourselves in these moments telling God, I can't do this anymore. I'm giving up. Throwing in the towel. It's gotten too difficult. Wasn't what I expected. It wasn't what I expected. Wasn't what I expected. Things got harder than you expected them to. They got more difficult. So you've given up. And let me tell you, church, giving up should never be an option. Giving up should never be an option. It's not an option. The Lord doesn't want you to give up. He wants you to keep going. But ministry is hard, church. It's hard. It's tough. There are bumps. There's bruises. But listen to me when I encourage you this morning. God is faithful. God never left Elijah. He never leaves us when we go through the sufferings and the pains of our life, when our strength has run out. God is always there. Go to the Lord. Go to the Lord. When you feel as if your strength is run out, be honest with the Lord and say, Lord, I don't know if I have any more strength left in me. So how does God renew our strength? Is we have to admit when our strength has run out. I'm not strong anymore. I've had enough. Go to the Lord and say, I've had enough. I can't take any more bruises. I can't take any more pain. I can't take any more suffering. Go to the Lord, for He is faithful. Many of us are not honest with the Lord. And then we get to the point where Elijah is. Our strength has run out. We give up. We throw in the towel. Go to the Lord now when you feel like your strength has run out. Do not wait to go to the Lord. Go to the Lord right now before you burn out. Before you burn out. Be honest with the Lord. And now we will see that even in our moments of exhaustion and depression, God never gives up on us. Verse 5, it says, then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. He looked He looked around, and by his head were some bread and baked bread over hot coals in a jar of water. He ate and drank, and then he lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." What is happening here is Elijah is tired. He's running on empty. He prays to the Lord. He says, "Take my life. I'm giving up, thrown in the towel." Yet God is there for him. You see that, church? That even though Elijah is saying, "Take my life, I'm done," God is saying, "I'm there for you. I'm right there for you." God is for him. And let me encourage you this morning that even in our lowest moments, God is there for us. And when we want to give up, God doesn't give up on us. So what does the Lord do for Elijah? He provides for him. He's tired and he's hungry. He needs rest. What does the Lord give him? Rest. Food. He provides for him. And what I find crazy about this moment, church, is Elijah prayed for death and God gave him the opposite. Elijah prayed for death and God gave him food. And praise the Lord, God provides not what we want, but what we need. Amen. See, even though Elijah wanted to die, even though he wanted to take his life, whatever it may be, God would not give him that. In fact, God knew exactly what he needed. He needed rest. He needed nourishment. And God provided it for him in spite of what he wanted. And praise the Lord, God does that for us. God gives us what we need, even if it's not what we want. God takes care of his children better than we can take care of ourselves. This is what this shows me. Elijah thought the solution was death. And God gave him rest instead. What does this show me? Is that God knows. God knows. God knows what you need. God knows when you've had enough. God knows when it's gotten too difficult. God knows. And praise the Lord. Hopefully that's encourage you this morning. Not just once he tells Elijah to rest, but twice he goes to him. Now imagine, can you imagine Elijah for a minute? You're expecting to die, but you wake up to food and to rest. That had to be encouraging for Elijah. He knows when we are struggling, when life has gotten too hard and we want to give up. God knows. God doesn't just know. He provides for us. He provides for us. He provided for Elijah just in this moment in three ways. Number one, God provides his presence. The angel touched Elijah. God provides his presence. And number two, God provides for his physical need, right? He gives him bread and he gives him water. And number three, God gives him rest. God gives him rest. God knows exactly what he needs. God's not afraid of our honesty. Amen, church? God's not afraid that when we are honest with him. See, God uses our weak moment to display his loving kindness and his power. That is what the Lord does. God provides rest for him. And this is how God provides for us. But when we trust in him and when we follow him, God gives us his presence. God gives us what we need. He provides for us and God gives us rest. So how does God renew our strength? By allowing him to provide for what only he can provide for. Do you know that only God can really give you strength? You know that God can only heal your exhaustion and your rest. For Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest." You find rest in Christ alone. That is where you're going to find strength that lasts forever. Not strength that will slowly fade away, slowly burn you out, but a strength that will last forever. See, some of us are going 100 miles an hour on the brink of exhaustion in order to appear strong. Appear like we got it all together, unwilling to be honest with the Lord. But listen to me, church, fake strength is fake strength. Fake strength is fake strength. What does that mean? It does nothing. Appearing to be strong does nothing for you. All it does is burn you out. It burns you out. It burns you out. God is the only one that can provide strength that can last. Our strength has a limit, but God's strength is unlimited. It's abounding, and there's no strength and no power like the power of God. And it is in this moment here that shows me that God is amazing, and that God, even though we might scold Elijah for it seems like his lack of faith, for being afraid, we might scold him, but God never scolded him. What did God do? God showed him compassion. Do you know that, church? That you serve a God that shows compassion? That when you fail, when you're exhausted, when you give up, God is there not scolding you. God is there trying to show you compassion. God's compassion is overflowing. It's abounding. There is no compassion like His compassion. Verse 8 says, so he got up and ate and drank, and strengthened by that food, he travels 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into the cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. Here we see Elijah on this journey to Mount Horeb. Mount Horeb was known for the mountain where God speaks. This was the mountain where Moses met God at the burning bush. This was the mountain where the people received the law of God, the Ten Commandments, all of those things. This was known as the mountain where God speaks. And Elijah is on the way, probably, not really for sure, but probably in order to hear God, to hear God speak. Elijah is going there, and what does he find? He finds the Lord. He finds the Lord. See, this is a reminder to me that when we seek the voice of the Lord, He speaks. Do you know God's not silent? Do you know God speaks? You know, God actually has something to say. As a reminder, God is not silent. He talks with us. The Lord came to Elijah and He asked him a question. It's a very simple question, but I think it's a very powerful question that I think God is asking us all the time. What are you doing here? What are you doing here? This is not where you're supposed to be. And what does Elijah say to the Lord? He says, I'm working for you with all my heart. I'm doing my best, Lord. I'm trying with all my heart. But it seems like nothing is coming from it. The people are still evil. They're still doing wrong. And in fact, I feel like it's done the opposite, Lord. I feel like now all they're trying to do is kill me. Kill me. And I'm all alone. I'm the only one doing it. You ever feel like that? You ever feel like you're the only one? The only one serving the Lord. The only one doing what God has called you to do. That's pretty lonely. It's pretty lonely to feel like you're all alone. To feel like you're trying to do it with all your heart and nothing's coming from it. That's exhausting. It's exhausting. It's one of the most exhausting things in life, right? To do something and feel like nothing's happening. Feel like it was worth nothing. Nothing came from it, right? I'll be honest, we've done concert cookouts where 300, 400 people go to the concert cookout. And then on the next week on Sunday, nobody. That's exhausting. Be honest. It's exhausting to go door to door and handing stuff out. 2,000 flyers. Not one person shows up. That's exhausting. If we're honest, that's exhausting. Makes you not want to keep doing it. Makes you want to give up. And I think many of us have been there in ministry where we labor and we labor and we feel like nothing is coming from it. We feel like we're not doing anything and we're all alone in it. And Elijah is pouring his heart out to the Lord, but the question still stands. What are you doing here? What are you doing here? And I think the Lord is asking this question to a lot of us this morning who have given up on what God has called us to do. God is asking, what are you doing here? You're not supposed to be here. You're not supposed to be here. So how does God renew our strength? As He draws us into His presence. You know, there's no greater place to be than in the presence of the Lord. There's no greater place to be than into the presence of the Lord. And many of us, church, need to pause. Right? You're running 100 miles an hour. You need to pause. 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 And draw to the Lord. Draw closer to the Lord. And the promise, church, is that He will draw close to us. That's what the Bible says. Draw close to the Lord and He'll draw close to you. Some of us need to pause and draw into the presence of God. And it is in God's presence that we find strength to keep going, to keep fighting the good fight. And I think many of us are afraid to get honest with the Lord and say, I'm tired, to say, I want to give up, because we think we're going to disappoint the Lord. But again, I'll say, God is not afraid of your honesty. God's not afraid of you saying, I've had enough, or my strength has run out. God's not afraid of that. Many people in the Bible have said that very thing. Lord, why is all of this happening? Why does it seem like our enemies are always winning? That's scattered throughout the Bible. People being honest with the Lord. God's not afraid of our honesty. See, God uses our weak moments to display His loving kindness and His power. His loving kindness and His power. There is no one like the Lord who can give strength to you this morning. Verse 11, it says, the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then the great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then the voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Here we see an amazing teaching moment for Elijah. Elijah was the guy who was going 100 miles an hour, who saw every big moment from the Lord that you could possibly see, who experienced God do mighty and powerful things. And God here is showing Elijah that God, He is not always in the great and mighty and powerful things. Sometimes God is in the gentle whisper. He's in the stillness of a whisper. And can you imagine this moment for Elijah? Is the angel says, go out and stand. The Lord is coming. And he goes out and here comes this giant wind and it rips apart a mountain. And you can imagine Elijah thinking, that must be God. He must be right there. To find out God's not there. He's not in the earthquake or the fire. But he's in the whisper. He's in the whisper. He's in the whisper. See, many of us who are weary try and chase that next big moment. That's what you're doing. You're chasing the next big moment, the next powerful thing. But God's trying to speak to you right now. God is trying to whisper to you right now. Right now. You know what? Chasing the big moment does? It just tires you out. Chasing the next powerful thing, mighty thing. Praise the Lord, God does those things. Oh, trust me, He does those things. But chasing those after one after the other, you'll find yourself exhausted. You'll find yourself unsatisfied because God had been trying to speak to you the whole time. All it does is tire us out. See, what I think is amazing about this moment is the only way that a person can hear a whisper is if you're close to them. It's the only way. You picture a little kid when they want to tell you a secret. What do? They get real close. They get right up. They cup your ears. They spit all up in your ear to tell you the secret. But the only way you're going to hear it is if they're close to you. That's how we hear a whisper. So how does God renew our strength? Is by staying close to Him. The only way that you're going to feel the power of God in your life, to find rest in Him, is if you're actually close with Him. That you're reading your Bible, you're praying, you're talking with Him, you're being around your brothers and sisters. It's the only way that you're going to be able to feel the strength of God. For God to renew your strength is to stay close to Him. And see, many of us are tired and weary because we aren't close with the Lord anymore. We've drifted too far away. We've drifted too far away. We're trying to do life on our own when God is. You're never supposed to do life on your own. You're always supposed to do it with Him. See, we were never designed to do life on our own. We were always designed to do it with the Lord. We need to stay close to the Lord so that we can rely on His strength that never fails. Did we sing that song? He never fails. He won't. He won't. He won't fail. Stay close to Him, and His strength will never fail. You see, the question still stands, though. He asked it again to Elijah. What are you doing here? Why are you still here? You're not supposed to be here. And God is asking you, what are you doing here? This is not where you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be close with the Lord. You're supposed to be next to the Lord. You're supposed to be relying on Him. And see, some of us need to turn down the noise of our life and listen to the voice of the Lord. Because listen to me, He might be speaking to you this morning. He might be speaking to you this morning. Do not let the noise of life drown out the voice of the Lord. Turn it down. Pause for a minute. Draw close to Him. And trust me when I tell you, He will speak to you. For those that seek the Lord will find Him. For those that seek the Lord will find Him. Verse 13 says, When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I've been very zealous for you, Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael, king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel, and anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel, Manoah, to succeed you as a prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal, and whose mouths have not kissed him." Here we find that when we listen for the Lord, He speaks. Elijah poured out his heart again. He said, "Lord, I've tried it. Nothing's coming from it. The Israelites are still disobeying. I've told them countless times to follow you. But they do the opposite. They're still trying to kill me. And I'm still the only one doing it." But when we speak, the Lord speaks. Elijah poured out his heart saying, "God, I'm all alone. There's no one beside me. There's no one doing it." And then God tells him, He says, "That's wrong. I've got 7,000 other people." Ministry in life can feel lonely. It can feel like we're doing it all by ourselves. But God is here reminding Elijah that he's not alone. He's not alone. That God is there, and that he's not the only one that follows the Lord. That God has more workers than we can imagine. Listen to me. You're not the only one doing ministry. You're not the only one following God. God has many more. Many more. You're not doing this all by yourself. And even when you feel abandoned, God is there. Amen, church? Psalms 27:10 says, "Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me." If there's anybody who's going to take you in, it is God. Even when it seems like your family has abandoned you, your friends have abandoned you, God will never abandon you. God will never forsake you. Here, we are not alone in ministry, and sometimes we lose our strength because we forget that God is always with us, and that He never leaves us, and He never forsakes us. This is why He tells Joshua, "Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged, for I am always with you." How does God renew our strength? By showing us we're not alone. We're not alone. See, Elijah is saying to God, "It's too much. I'm done." And God is telling Elijah, "You're not done yet. You might feel like you're done, like you're washed up, your tank is empty, but God is telling you this morning, you're not done. You might feel like it. You might feel exhausted. You might feel abandoned, but God is not done with you yet." Some might think that this morning, but I pray you're encouraged this morning to know that God is not done with you yet. You're not done with ministry because you're too old. Or you're not done with ministry because you're not old enough. Or you've done something wrong, or whatever it may be. God restores and God renews. Or in other words, He tells Elijah to get back up. What's He tell Elijah here? He says, "Go back the way you came." He kept saying, "What are you doing here? What are you doing here?" And then God says, "Go back. Go back to the ministry God called you to. Go back to where you first left it. Go back to where your tank was empty. Go back." This is what He's saying. In other words, it's time to get back up. And maybe you have left what God was doing because you got burnt out. Do not think God is scolding you here this morning. He's simply telling you to go back. To simply go back. God knows we have limits. But He wants us to understand that He does not. We have limits, church. Let's be honest. There's only so much we can do. But God can do anything. And if you're a believer in Christ, the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. You have the power of God to do what God has called you to do. Let him equip you. Let him give you his strength. Church, it's time to go back. It's time to return to the work, to move, to go. Maybe you've been sitting too long when you know God is telling you to go back. And when our strength is low, church, we tend to, number one, make our problems bigger than they really are. Number two, feel as if we don't have enough resources, we don't have enough. And three, we tend to lose our hope. When our strength is low, when our tank is empty, we tend to make our problems bigger than they are, feel as if we don't have enough, and lose our hope. But when we trust in the strength of the Lord, He shows us that, number one, He's bigger than our problems. He's bigger than the things going on in your life. And number two, He shows us that He is enough. When you feel like you don't have enough, He wants you to know that He is enough. And number three, that He is our hope. When you lose hope, He wants you to know this morning that He is your hope. You can rely on Him. And these three things, church, right here are the fuel to your strength. If you want to be strong in the Lord, then you have to know that He is bigger than the obstacles in your life. You have to know that there is no resource that He doesn't have, that His banks and His barns are full, that you can go to Him and ask and He will give. And number three, when your hope is low, you're unassured, I pray you know that He is your hope this morning. He is your hope. He is your rock. He is your strength. Verse 19 says, so Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. He himself was driving 12th pair. Elijah went up with him and threw his cloak around him. Elisha then left the oxen and ran to Elijah. Let me kiss my father and mother and goodbye. And he said, and then I will come with you. Go back, Elijah says. What have I done to you? So Elisha left him and went back, and he took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. And then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant. What is happening here is Elijah goes back. He trusts the Lord. He does what the Lord says, and he goes and finds a man named Elisha. So Elijah and then Elisha. Elisha was going to be his successor. God was giving him a son in essence. He was giving him a co-worker in the Lord. And most importantly, He was giving him a friend. He was no longer going to do ministry on his own anymore. God heard his plea. I'm all alone. I'm the only one doing this. And God provided not only for his spiritual needs, for his physical needs. He provided somebody to do it with him. A companion, a friend. And I do find this part funny. That Elisha accepts it. And he does. He sets up, he has a meal, burns the offering, all those things. But I find this part funny. Is it's like, you know, he's still got his parents, but he took all of his equipment and burned it and everything. And now his parents don't have no equipment, probably. But what's important here is both Elijah and Elisha were willing to do it together. Willing to do ministry together. Elijah now has someone with him on his journey. The promise is the journey is not easy. That God was going to make the journey easier. The promise was that God was going to be there and God was going to give him someone to do it with him. Elijah now not only knows he's not alone, but now he's physically not alone. God heard his plea. God answered his prayer. See, this is a reminder that we are not called to do ministry alone, church. Do you know that? Why are you trying to do it all by yourself? You're not supposed to do ministry all on your own. We're supposed to do it as a church, as the family of God. We're called to do it together. See, God renews our strength by building our relationship with Him, and our relationship with each other. That's the only way that you're going to be able to do ministry without losing heart, without losing strength, without being exhausted, is by doing it with each other. See, the Christian life is not a solo project. It's a family. That's the Christian life. It's a family. And let me ask you a question. Do you really believe it? And if you do believe it, do you act like it? Because can I tell you, we can get a lot more done if we actually act like brothers and sisters in the Lord. Too many of us are exhausted because we try to do it all by ourselves. We never try to ask for help. We never try to ask each other for a hand, for encouragement. Trust me, church, when I tell you we could get a lot. There's a lot being done here. And praise the Lord that sometimes He's doing it in spite of us. Because He's faithful. But imagine what we could get done if we did it all together. Imagine what the Lord could do with a people who decided we're going to do ministry. We're going to do the Christian life together. And this is why we build each other up, church. The Bible calls us to build one another up, to stir one another up onto love and good deeds. And this is not something nice just to do. It is nice to do, but it renews our strength. It encourages us to not give up. We should be striving to build our relationship with one another so that we as a church and individuals would be steadfast in the calling of God. See, Elijah was burnt out. He was defeated. But God has the power to renew our strength to continue to fight the good fight. Do you know that this morning? This is what I want you to leave here with this morning. That God has the power to renew your strength. You feel like you can't do it anymore? Trust me when I tell you, you can do it with the Lord. God has the power to restore you. God has the power to lift you up, to encourage you, to motivate you, to renew your strength. So how does God renew our strength again? Is one, we have to be honest that we're burnt out. We don't have any strength left. We have to say, I've had enough, Lord. And number two, you have to know that God provides for you. Not what you want, but what you need. And number three, that God is trying to draw you into His presence. He's trying to draw you close to Him. And number four is the only way that you're going to be able to keep your strength, to renew your strength, is if you actually stay close to Him. God is drawing you close to Him, but you got to stay there. You got to stay in the presence of God. And number five is He's showing us that you're not alone, that He's always there with you, that you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be discouraged because God is always there. There with you. And number six is He's building our relationships with one another. He's making us unified. He's making us strong as a body of Christ, as one. You know, that's what Jesus prayed for to the Father. He says, let the people who believe be unified, be one as you and I are unified together. That's what Jesus is praying. And God knows you are weak, but listen to me. He wants you to know that He's strong. You may be weak, but He is strong. I think that's in a children's song, right? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. When I am weak, He is strong. Amen, church? When I am weak, He is strong. I'm going to read the verse one more time. Listen to it very closely because I pray that it is deep inside your heart. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Church, I don't know about you, but I want to see more souls saved. I don't know about you. I want to see more people helped, more broken hearts healed, but we can't give up. We can't get weary or tired of doing what is good, doing what God has called us to, because people are out there. People are out there that are lost and need to be found. And maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, I'm done. I'm done. I've had enough. Can't do it anymore. Can I just plead with you this morning to say, let God renew your strength. And I promise you, you're going to be able to see God do powerful things again in your life. Wonderful things again in your life. You're not washed up. You're not done. God is not done with you yet. And maybe you've given up and you've drifted away from the Lord. God is calling you back. God is saying to you this morning, go back the way you came. You used to be close with the Lord. You've drifted far away. God is telling you this morning, go back the way you came. Amen, church? So the question this morning again, is does your strength need to be renewed? Let's pray, church.